Tom Torero, back once again with your weekly dose of day game degeneracy. This is the world's most popular, the world's biggest day game pickup podcast. Can you believe it? I'm sitting in a park in the Baltics waiting for my flight to Istanbul, where I'm getting a connecting flight this evening to a mystery day game location. I'll give you a clue, it's in the Middle East, and I'm going there hopefully to get a new flag or flags. And today is, I guess, a microcosm example of the topic of this podcast, muckmating. Yeah, the global DNA distribution, this free market competition for male and female sexual market value now, a time in human evolutionary history unparalleled. Unbelievable if you're a cad, a wandering player, a nomad. There's never been a better time, I tweeted a long time ago, to be a player, to be a lover, to be a gypsy nomad. But you could say there's never been a worse time in human history to be a one location sweet romantic boyfriend or husband, or insert any other form of provider. So that's what we're talking about today. The episode number, I don't know, by the way, I think it's 163, but the Wi-Fi in this park is a little bit dodgy. But yes, the episode is called Muck Mating, based on the book Muck Mafia. I hope you've read that book. It's a very good hustle book documenting this new age of international organized crime that crosses national borders. So global trade of a dodgy kind. You might have also read that book on the Silk Road, that drug marketplace, and how the dot-com boom allows this e-commerce, both on the surface and through the many layers of the internet. So this also applies, obviously, to day game and dating and P in V and you spreading your seed as the lover. And it applies to everything we do, whether you like it or not, whether you long for the good old days. You're listening to this podcast, I suspect, on a platform like YouTube or iTunes, which is based in California, I think, in the United States. I'm recording this podcast on a crappy old dictaphone made in Taiwan, which I brought in America, which has gone around the world with me many times to over 60 countries to do my dirty day game. Maybe you have bought one of my printed books, cha-ching. And that's through an American company, Lulu, but it's printed and shipped internationally. Forthcoming Torero merch, cha-ching. Again, it's an American company, but it has a printers in Latvia, here in the Baltics. So global distribution, whether you like it or not. And girls are certainly making use of this global marketplace, and guys are slowly catching up. Some are moaning, some are groaning, some are whining, but if you're a traveling day gamer like me, you can see the trends. And that's what this podcast is about. Yeah, it's a little bit meta, so not just practical, actionable, filthy day game tips, but I shall include some practical stuff for you to do later on in the podcast. Okay, you've heard me talk about sexual economics, I hope, in terms of male sexual market value components, female sexual market value components, and the sexual marketplace. And I say in Street Hustle, cha-ching, that as humans we don't like to think of marketplace rules and trends applying to human dating and mating. It seems odd, but there's a reason that a nightclub is called a meat market, yeah? There's supply and demand. There are winners, there are losers. It's competitive, whether you like it or not. And day game is a sexual market value conduit. It delivers your sexual market value in a certain way. It's also part, I say, of the male sexual market value, in that you're going up to a girl, it shows your confidence, it shows your swagger, it shows your charisma, it shows your balls, you don't hide your dick. So all this stuff is part of it. Thank God male sexual market value is not just based on age and looks like it is for females, otherwise Tom Torero would be fucked. But you can see your male sexual market value now as something to export, or for girls, something to import, yeah? Because the sexual marketplace now is no longer your school or your college or your town or your city or your capital city or even your country, because you can hop on a budget flight or take a crappy cheap coach across a border and you're in the global sexual marketplace. Now, a heated debate: is sexual market value absolute or is it relative? Well, it's both. Casting directors, porn directors, fashion photographers and scouts, they know that female beauty is objective, not subjective, like people like to say, oh, you know, beauty depends on who you are and what you like. Well, the covers of fashion magazines and, you know, girls in music videos and fashion models and Victoria's Secrets and girls in porn, yeah, that's beauty that you can recognize and that I can recognize and that you can categorize and that you can put a number on. And females obviously get very upset by that, but that's true, because female sexual market value, yeah, is looks and youth. Okay, this is related to fertility, and all those beauty ratios are really related to her fertility. But for a man, your sexual market value, you could say, is far more relative. Do you remember that Monty Python sketch, I think it is, of one man looking up to another man and one man looking down on another man, and they're talking about who's taller and who's shorter? It does apply to females too. That's why hot girls have fat friends often, and females can travel certainly to boost their sexual market value, but more, thank God, for men. So when we're talking about your sexual market value, remember that it's relative. You might be stuck at a certain part of the male hierarchy in your school. You're not part of the soccer team, the hockey team, the basketball team. You may be stuck at a point in the pyramid in your work or in a certain level in your city, but when you open up the sexual marketplace globally, and Tom Terrero takes a flight to Istanbul or a mysterious Middle Eastern day game city, or he tries a different British city, then, my friends, we're playing this muckmating game, yeah? So, new markets, you can be an international product. Think of yourself as a fine export, like whiskey. And of course, borders have tariffs. Yeah, there are time costs. Think of, you know, actual shipping globally of products. There are border delays. There are costs because of different cultures. There are obviously pissed off people who like market regulations. There is mate guarding. There is certainly anger at competition. If you think of how Uber spread around, and local taxi companies, who were the gatekeepers to all this, were really and are really pissed off, especially at airports. Think of black cab drivers in London. Uber comes along, the gatekeepers are removed, you've got this free market competition, and sure, local people go nuts. You might have noticed that women welcome this genetic competition. Men fear it, especially if they're the providers, especially if they're mate guarding. But what day game encourages you to do, or cold approach pickup encourages you to do, is to say, look, your skill is transferable. You don't need to rely on school or your place of work or just your looks. You, with your charm, charisma, swagger, confidence, you can get up, and with the shirt on your back, you don't need to be a provider. You don't need to buy her shit. You don't need to reach a certain place in a social ecosystem. Nope, you can just go up to a hot girl and be pretty direct. You can date her and you can fuck her as a transient lover. That's mind-blowing. That is a mind-blowing concept. And can you imagine Casanova discovering the joys of budget airlines and Airbnb and iPhones? Or I bet it'd be on Tinder, you know, a global platform that exposes this global sexual marketplace and competition, global competition of sexual market value. Casanova would be all over Plenty of Fish and Tinder. I'm sure he'd be doing Instagram game. He was very social circle-ish, but I'd like to teach him some cold approach pickup. Interestingly, in his memoirs, there is a little example of him doing cold approach pickup in London. I think he's on the Strand and he's in a horse and cart and he sees this girl and he stops the horse and cart taxi and does a, I think it's a direct cold approach pickup. I haven't read the memoirs in a long time. But anyway, free market, Darwinian trade, that's what we're talking about, rather than these restricted, monopolized markets. And that's why I say go to a city like London to learn day game, or go to a city like New York to learn day game, where you've got this massive melting of gene pools, this mixing of gene pools, this cross-fertilization, which biology welcomes, Darwinian evolution certainly welcomes. We want to get rid of mutation dangers. So there's a reason why day gamers do well in huge cities, transient, anonymous, lonely cities, which are certainly not these restricted marketplaces. And you might know the economic principle of arbitrage, which is buying something in one place, selling it in another place. So, arbitrage opportunities, they're created when, there are different asset prices. I think that's the technical term. And it eventually, obviously, brings prices back in line, which is what you see with Tinder, which is what you see with traveling day gamers. But for a time, you can capitalize on this market difference. And I've got a friend, a black guy, who day games only in Scandinavia. He's worked out that he does very well in Scandinavia. Girls either love him or hate him, but when they love him, they really love him. So he does well. And a Scandinavian girl might say, well, she does extra well in Brazil. Or I know certainly German guys, blonde, fair-skinned, they do really well in South America. So you're making use of arbitrage. And that's not to say that you just turn up and it's sex on a plate, pussy paradise. No, it might give you a foot in the door. I say it's an opener, but you still have to have game. You still have to attract her and flirt and pass shit tests and get her to hook. And you have to take her on a date and you have to escalate and you have to pull home. So no, we're not talking about this mythical pussy paradise that you read about online where you just turn up and get laid. I'm not talking in this podcast about Tinder. I have very little experience, if any, with Tinder, and I'm certainly not talking about pay for play, traveling around the world fucking hookers, because that's a different kind of market where she's hustling you and she's winning, and it's a great time, I'm sure, for global hookers. They're having the last laugh with paying men. No, we're talking about you delivering your sexual market value using day game, but in other environments. I'll give you some examples that are in the new book, Cha-Ching, Below the Belt. These are examples from my day game in the last 10 years through over 60 countries, now more than 70, 80 cities, where I've made use of muckmating, right? The best example in the new book is me going on holiday with a wing called John, and we went to Marseille in the south of France. And I opened a girl and she turned out to be Russian from Moscow. I got the lead, forgot about it, and then months later when I was in Moscow, I dated her. I don't think I even got a kiss, I can't remember, but that was the end of that. Forgot about her, and then months later, the following year, I closed her. P was in V in Prague, in the Czech Republic. So that's meeting a girl in France, dating her in Russia, fucking her in the Czech Republic. She was making use of flights and Airbnbs, and so was I. How did we communicate? Her English was okay, but oftentimes in this global marketplace, you can use Google Translate. And if you download it for that country that you're in, it also works offline. That's useful to know. I say that in cold calling. Cha-ching. That let's say you're stuck in Tokyo without Wi-Fi, you can still use the Google Translate app. Anyway, attraction, seduction. If you're good, you know that it's largely non-verbal. But there's a practical tip. If you fear day gaming in another country where girls say they don't speak English, and remember when a girl says, I am not a speaker of English, she really means, please slow down. She does speak some English, but you're talking too fast. And to the American listeners, you're speaking incredibly fast. All my American day game students speak way too fast. So you need to do your day game in this pidgin English. When I'm in Tokyo, I say, stop, you, nice, me, London, you, Harry Potter, you, art student, me, etc., etc., etc. Okay, there's no point going up to a girl and speaking as fast as I am now. Excuse me, I just want to say I think you look really nice. What I noticed about you is you look very creative. You look, so что? Что? A Russian girl will say to you. So slow the fuck down. Or that practical tip, as I said, use Google Translate. Use the voice function on that where you speak into your phone and it translates it back to her in her language. She speaks into her phone and it translates it back into English. It's really good on a date. There's an example in Stealth Seduction, cha-ching, my infield course, 17 hours long, the most comprehensive out there, where you see a same day delay with a Japanese girl in Japan. She doesn't speak a word of bloody English. Hello? I think she can say hello. And the date's done, yeah, using Google Translate on the phone, and you see me do that. It slows down the date, actually, gives you time to think, gives you time to come up with cocky, funny, witty answers to her shit tests. You can do a lot with photo routines. I've just put a video out on that for Anti-Player Vibes, but you can now use Instagram, or you can have a photo stack that does all your DHVing for you on your phone. You see me do that with a Japanese girl and then taking her home, and guys say, but she doesn't speak English. It doesn't matter. You're in this global marketplace, my friend. You need to work it out. Anyway, coming back to practical examples. So I said about the Russian who I met in France and banged in Prague. There's another good one from last year where I was in Georgia on another flag mission, Tbilisi in Georgia. And I, when my first or my second set was on a Chinese girl. Now, I'm not usually into Asian girls, especially not Chinese girls, but she just looked so dreamy. She was obviously a tourist. I was warming up and it hooked, and I instant dated her, but I didn't fuck her in Georgia. A few months later on the world tour with Craig, I fucked her in Hong Kong. And she's a massive traveler. She's a business girl, and I was traveling around the world in a month with Craig, filming the Hustle On documentary. So that was a mad example of muckmating, an absolutely mad example. Another one from the book is a cat feminist that I opened on a boot camp in Topshop in London. She was over with her school group, and a few months or possibly a year later, I can't remember the timeline, I fucked her in the winter in Mannheim in Germany, as the snow was falling outside her apartment and her angry cat was watching us fuck. So that was interesting, how to fuck a feminist. There's another story in the book about a married Egyptian woman who's on a shopping trip to London. She's very, very rich, and her husband, I think, was in Iceland on business, and she had gone to London, and I fucked her in a hotel. That was a same day delay. In the book, I fuck a Russian girl, same day lay, or kind of same day mini delay, on a ferry between St. Petersburg and Helsinki in Finland. So where were we when we fucked? That's a good question. Were we in Russian waters? Were we in Finnish waters? Who knows? Who knows where the watery border was? But that was a big mark post in my day game career. What else? A lay report with an American girl I fucked in Reykjavik in Iceland, and she was on a stopover on her way to, I think, London. And she was meeting her friend who was flying from London back to the USA, and they were having this little mini break in Iceland. And I was there in the depths of winter finishing Street Hustle. And yes, it was a same day lay, or just a same day delay. There was a little break between meeting her and fucking her that evening. So that was interesting. In the book, I also fuck a Vietnamese girl in Bangkok. I'm in transit. She's there for a cookery course. I think she was doing an Italian cookery course in Bangkok, Thailand, and she's from Vietnam. So welcome to McMating, my friends. There's a story of a threesome with a Ukrainian girl who's studying in Poland and a girl from Moldova who's come over to Poland to see me. A Welsh, British man in Poland fucking a Ukrainian and a Moldovan. It's like the Eurovision Song Contest. And I've just put up on my blog a lay report from a couple of days ago where I bang a Russian waitress who I met in Lithuania earlier on this year on the van tour. So a British guy in Vilnius, Lithuania, a Russian girl from St. Petersburg working there. She had a boyfriend at the time. Gave it a while, long game, banged her. So the joys of long game, the joys of using apps like WhatsApp and Instagram now, and it used to be Facebook Messenger, Line, Viber, whatever, to keep in contact with these girls using the power of the internet wherever they are. Upload in your stories, your DHV stories, quite literally. Mystery used to use that analogy of, you know, uploading DHVs into her brain, but now you actually upload DHVs. There's a photo of me on an island in Colombia, or off Colombia, off Nicaragua, and I upload that to my Instagram, and then let's say a girl in Paris, she sees that, and then I meet her in London. I might have a date with her there, and then I bang her back in France. All this stuff is possible. So, mind-blowing. And whether you like it or not, this is happening. You cannot turn back the hands of time. I understand why it's frustrating to a guy stuck in a village, or a guy that's married, a guy that's a provider. As I said, there's never been a worse time. But for a traveling playboy, thank fuck for all this technology. I wake up every day just thinking, this is amazing. I'm checking my emails on a laptop. You can do that anywhere with Wi-Fi. I'm recording my videos and these podcasts on crappy equipment that's very portable. You can teach students all over the world. You can sell using these cross-nation platforms. Fuck me, if you're not appreciative of all this stuff, as I've said before, if you're not appreciative of walking into a supermarket and seeing this global range of produce, look at the clothes you're wearing right now. It's all fucking global, right? So I don't understand this moaning. Unless you really are restricted with your sexual market value in your sexual marketplace, let's get practical. First thing is get the fuck out of that small village, out of this small town, of this small city. If you're in America, I know you've got a hard time, but you need to get to New York City, all right? Even Houston's not good enough. Even Chicago's not good enough. LA, if you're into the night stuff and the bars and clubs, okay, you've got LA, Miami, and Vegas. But if you're a day gamer and you want pedestrian paradise, which could turn into pussy paradise, potentially, lots of P's there, then go to New York City. If you're in Europe, you gotta try London, all right? For those dreamy Canadian backpackers, those Swedish two sets, that random girl from Nigeria, then you'll meet a girl from Hong Kong, then you might meet a Russian model, then you're gonna meet this Polish nanny, then you're gonna meet a Brazilian teacher, all in one day. So I say sharpen up your day game skills. Don't just say, I like Asian girls, I like girls from the former Soviet Union, and just stick to one thing. No, with muck mating, you are a kid in a sweet shop. So before you settle down, if you settle down, hopefully you don't settle down, then try all the different flavors. Don't stick to one type. It also stretches your game. Too many day gamers are stuck doing one thing. I say the one trick pony of the front stop, or they only speak to Chinese girls. And surprise, surprise, that's what you'll end up with. But you go to a city like London, or you start traveling with your day game to your nearest big city or a new country or a new continent, sharpens up your skills. Because yeah, I say girls are girls, but there are certainly different flavors when it comes to global day game and global dating reader, Torero travels and cold calling, and below the belt about 2 or 3 weeks away. So yeah, get into a giant gene pool and then listen to your dick. I say don't hide your dick, but I also say you can't trick your dick. Repeat after me, gentlemen, you can't trick your dick. So what does your dick respond to? My wing, he has been saying, Tom, the dick doesn't lie, the dick doesn't lie. So when I see a girl with dark hair, dark eyes, Penelope Cruz-ish, I'm drawn towards that. I have been since I was 14, 15 years old, perhaps because early wanks were to Penelope Cruz. But listen to your dick, that's what I'm saying. Like the black day gamer who listens to his dick and he goes to Scandinavia. Or you might just think, I just fucking love Brazilian girls. Now make sure it's not a limiting belief, like saying I just love Asian girls. Often guys who say that are quite fragile, quite nervous, quite timid. They're scared by sexually confident girls. They're scared by girls from their own country. That's very, very common. But I do know day gamers that have traveled around the world with me, like my friend Tim, like my buddy Tom, and they fuck girls of different nationalities, but then they always say, look, I just really like Asian girls. They listen to their dick, and they've worked out that perhaps they do well. Okay, now that might be psychological bias, which just creates this upward positive spiral. It might be kind of true that it's a foot in the door opening, like the black guy in Scandinavia or a Swedish guy in Brazil. And girls know this too, that they can move around. Girls are obviously meeting guys on Instagram, on Tinder, switching their sexual marketplace. She might be from a tiny village in Bulgaria and she can date a guy in New York City or Dubai. So it's a dream for girls as well. And instinctively you just go, so fucking unfair, don't you? If you're stuck in a town or if you feel like you've got low male sexual market value, you get angry, you rage, you post online. You say, fuck this global marketplace, fuck this McMating. And I say, and I always have said, don't say fuck it, say fuck. How can you make use of it? How is this a loophole? How are you gonna market your own value properly? How are you gonna deliver it? Well, you're gonna do day game and you're gonna travel. That's the whole point of these podcasts. So dive in. It's the best time in history. Sample all these flavors, be like a kid in a sweet shop. Yeah, satisfy all your fantasies. And I should have said also, a global view of girls. If you fuck girls from 10 countries, 20 countries, 50 countries, if you fuck girls from over 80 countries around the world in 80 lays, then you'll have a much better idea of what you like, of what you don't like. And importantly, you'll be able to say, that's an 8. Or that's a 10, or that's a 7, or whatever. Because I've met guys in LA and they'll point out a girl on the street and say, damn, that's a Los Angeles 9, man, look at her. And if you've been to Moscow, or if you've been to Colombia, or if you've dated Iranian girls, then you'll say, have you ever traveled? Have you ever seen other types of girls? Have you expanded your mind? Yeah, so it's worth traveling just to see the beauty. And I say to every guy before he dies, you should spend a while in Moscow, or go to a VIP club in Moscow and look at the standard of beauty, or go to Bogota and look at the standard of beauty, or look at Lebanese girls, or look at girls from Iran. These are countries where I consider beauty to be, you know, top, and fashion photographers and casting agents agree. Right, so sure, she might seem hot in your town and she might be the local 10, but this is what I meant by SMV being relative and arbitrage. She ain't a 10, right, in a global city. And London is good and bad for this, in that, let's say a girl comes from a small Ukrainian city and she arrives in London, then sure, she didn't know she was an 8, but suddenly she realizes it. But it could also work in the other way, that a girl who thinks she's the shit, she thinks she's a 9, she turns up in a posh part of London, and, or she goes to Moscow and she quickly realizes, fuck, there are younger, hotter girls. So, you need to take advantage of this. I shall finish it there because I'm going to get some lunch, and I'm going to the airport using Uber, and then I'm flying using this global technology. So thank fuck for McMating. You can moan all you want, or you can make her moan.